Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day. Our next guest, he always has great days. Former Titan wide receiver Chris Sanders. Chris, what's up?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, y'all doing all right, man? Y'all hanging in there?
How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm just got done working out, did like 2,000 push-ups. And now I'm about to go out there and try to fight these moles. That's my entertainment of the day.
Oh, you've got moles in the yard?
Fighting moles. Getting after it.
Yeah, they...
Getting after it. I get excited in the morning when, you know, I mean, that's how crazy it's been. I get excited to fight moles. That's my day.
Are you going like Caddyshack in your yard? Are you going to start blowing things up?
Well, those were gophers. Yeah. Those were gophers. Do you use the same tactics against moles as gophers?
Yes. Yeah, I really do. I actually get up like about 6:30 in the morning and just see when they're moving, and then I try to get them. I mean, I'm using spray. I'm using these little fake worms. You see how excited I'm getting? But, I mean, it is incredible. I'm having a blast.
What are they doing to your yard? Why do they have your attention?
They're tearing my yard up. They're, right. like, making big holes.
And, yes.
You know, my grass is looking kind of green, but then you got all these divots and holes, and it's just making me mad, man. I'm getting upset.
I've had moles, too, and they burrowed completely under my fence and into the backyard. Yeah. Because I kept wondering. I was like, why are the dogs so, you know, infatuated over there in that corner of the fence? And they're just always and I've noticed, like, his head, you know, I get a German Shepherds. I'm like, their heads are disappearing. What are they doing? If they dug
it
a hole?
Crazy.
So I blamed it on them. It wasn't them. It was moles.
Yeah. Man, I'm telling you, it tears up your yard. But I'm kind of glad it's happening now because that's my entertainment. You know, just for me to get out the house. And, you know, it's even exciting, you know, just checking, the mailbox. I mean, I'm having that's my entertainment. And then watch Netflix and then run routes in the den. That's all I got.
Routes in the den.
I want to see a video of Chris trying to chase a mole down. I think that would be some great social media content.
I might put it on there. I might have my son and my daughter tape it, but, man, hey, you know, that's all you can do. I mean, I work out in the morning and chase moles and then work out with my son a little bit and, you know, I sit here and watch 30 hours of Netflix.
Well, okay, what are you watching on Netflix?
Man, I'm watching Prison Break.
Prison Break, okay.
And then I'm watching a lot of love stories.
Well, sell us on – hold on. But, yeah, before we get to the love stories, sell us on Prison Break. We're in Ozark mode. By the way, I'm going to be starting probably season 3 this weekend. So I'm excited about that. So I'm getting – you know, I'm working on it. So I'm going to be done here in the pretty near future. So I'm going to need the next thing. So sell me on Prison Break.
Man, it's really good. It's about a brother who gets falsely accused of committing a murder, and then his brother actually commits a crime so he can go in jail and try to break him out. And it's incredible. My son just got me watching it the last couple of days, and I think I watched like 6 episodes already. I mean, it keeps your attention, it keeps you on edge, and it just has so many storylines that are going on. And him breaking out and him you know, becoming the big guy in the jail cell. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, it's kind of a good family movie. I mean, there's no bad words or anything. They may have one bad word. They may say darn or D-A-M or whatever. But it's a good movie to where, you know, everybody can watch it.
Hmm. There's going to be a point where we all reach the reward and then the sadness when Netflix comes up and says, congratulations, you have watched all of our content. We have nothing else for you. Like, that'll be rewarding and very sad on one hand, because I think we're all getting close to that.
Dude, I'm watching movies I never heard of. I mean, I watched I'm serious. I'm like, okay, we'll watch this movie. I'm thinking it's going to be really, really dumb. But in actuality, it's probably one of the best movies I've seen. I mean, it's a lot of them on there. I mean, it's movies that you've never heard of. I watched a movie, I don't know if you remember this movie, called School Days with Spike Lee.
Uh-huh.
I'm watching that, and that came out like in the 80s. And I'm like, man, this is great. I mean, that's how desperate I am of watching movies.
Wow, I know. I think we're all there, Chris. By the way, I'm going to give you a really good movie if you're into this is like a comedy slash love story. This is in your love story category. It's called Crazy Stupid Love. It was 2011. It's a
good one.
Good movie. Steve Carell.
I'm going to try it, man.
And Ryan Gosling.
I'm going to try it.
It's Crazy Stupid Love.
A strong cast up and down.
Yep.
I got one for you, too. This is really going to blow your mind. I watch Vampire Diaries. What in Sammy Hillman? It's really good. I mean, there's just so many things going on. Then another one that I just got done finished watching is All American. I watched that. And then now I'm watching 60 Days In. This is on a different channel. That's how much TV I'm watching.
Wow.
I've heard All American's really good, too, that it's like Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, but the football scenes are awful. I mean, they're awful. It's like Darren trying to run around. I'm serious.
You didn't have to go there. Not have to go there.
Hey, the football scenes when the guy is running around, it is the worst route I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, and what in Sammy Hill are we doing? But the other storyline is good.
So bad acting.
That is a potential disqualifier of any show, right? If the sports are so bad, if the actors are so bad on the court or on the field, that could really ruin the movie.
I'm telling you, it's like Darren running a curl route. Just like that.
You went there again. You don't have to keep emphasizing we got it. It's bad.
He would do better than I would, Chris. It's okay.
We are having our Nashville sports bracket. Okay. And we've had a lot of fun with this over the last couple of weeks. The best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years, and we are down to we had 64 athletes, and we are down to.
Did I make the list? Didn't we go through this last year, man?
Hold on, I'm getting a phone call. Can you hold on one second? Let me check this.
Chris, you were a 3 seed in the NIT.
Yeah, I was going to say we were going to reveal the NIT.
You were a bubble player, and your bubble burst.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for the encouragement. Thanks, bud.
That's what you get for talking about my routes. It's down to Steve McNair and Pecorine. We have our championship today, and we want a good Steve McNair story from Chris Sanders.
Yeah. We were playing the Dallas Cowboys, and I think it was like 3rd and 15, and the play before – Steve McNair broke his finger. I mean, it was pointing the other way.
Ooh.
And I remember Frank Wycheck in the huddle, and I think it was Eddie George, was trying to call timeout to get him out of the game because his finger was broke. And he was like, oh, you know how Steve McNair is. I'm like, man, you're all right. He's like, yeah, I'm good. And as he's walking up to get the ball from the center, he pops it back in place. And as he pops it back in place, he gets the ball. Next thing you know, he runs a 40-yard touchdown. That's a crazy story that I'll never, ever forget. Mm. Unbelievable.
Wow, Chris Sanders.
Unbelievable. I'm telling you, he's one of the toughest dudes I've ever met, ever.
I'm cringing just thinking about that. Let me ask you this, Chris.
Sure.
Take me back to the first time you ever met him, because I'm sure you had watched him and you were aware of Air McNair from Alcorn State. We were all seeing these amazing highlights when he was in college. When he became a teammate of yours, take us back to the first day you met him.
Sure. I met him when we were in an offensive meeting. He walked in, and just knowing Steve McNair, I didn't really know him. I just knew about him, just watching him, what he did at Alcorn State. But I just kind of watched him from afar, you know, a real quiet guy. Sometimes he just kind of keep to himself. But he was just one of those guys that was willing to learn and willing to get better. You know, when he first came in, we had Chris Chandler. He was a quarterback, and funny story about that, they really didn't get along. But even though they didn't get along, Steve McNair was still willing to learn from everybody else. And just watching him was a great teammate. Everybody loved him, and I just loved being around him. And just watching him, the way he responded, you know, just going through adversity and going through different things in his life, you know, I wanted to be like that guy because I watched how he didn't just settle for just being okay. And that's why I love Steve McNair so much. And the funny thing that we're even talking about Steve McNair, I actually was going to post something on my Facebook page. I usually don't, you know, post that many things, but I was just going to tell him that if he was here today, I would say thank you for being a great teammate, and it was an honor to get drafted with him in 1995. That's funny that we're talking about it.
Yeah, so when you guys came in, you know, you're playing, right, and he had to wait his turn. Yeah. As you mentioned, he had Chris Chandler, and they had him sit and learn there for a while. So During that time, what was he like day to day? Was he okay with it? Was he sitting there maybe privately telling you, hey, I need to get in there. I'm ready to go in there. But he seemed to be okay with the process. But tell us about that time.
Yeah, he never expressed it, you know, about I need to play, I need to do this. You know, I broke these kind of records. He was kind of a guy that just said, you know, I'm going to wait my turn. And you can just watch by his body language that he did want to play. I'm not going to sit up here and say that, you know, he was okay with it. Because when you come from Alcorn State, you come from a situation to where you're the man, to all of a sudden you got to learn a whole different system. You got to learn your teammates, and you got to learn your coach. You got to learn a lot of things. You know, I know it was hard for him sitting for 2 years knowing that he can play the game. But the one thing that I loved that he did is he handled it with class. He never got in the media and said, well, I need to be playing. I got drafted first round. I need to do this. He never said that. He just said, I'm going to wait my turn. And just remembering his documentary when they did on, I think it was not 30 for 30, I think it was on NFL Network, when they interviewed his mom said that he was frustrated and he was upset, but he never complained. It just shows you what type of guy this is. When he's going through adversity, he's going through challenges, he never complained.
I have this memory as well. The first game, I think it was in Memphis. It was the first year that he was named the starter. Chris Sanders, I believe.
Oh, thanks, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you exactly where I was. I was with George. We were at the box seat. We were watching. Yeah. We did not make the trip to Memphis. Sorry about that. the old box seat. And you guys were wearing the old Oilers uniforms. You're playing the Raiders, right? You guys won the game. Eddie had a huge game, if I remember
that
correctly.
Yeah.
But
I think he ran for 200 in that game?
Yeah.
I mean, he always seemed to have huge games against the Raiders, for sure. But
yeah.
Chris, that moment, I'm thinking that, you know, that he's waited a long time to get the reins, you know, to really be the starter there. So, and he went through a period of time, right, where he was good, but you guys had not really broken through until obviously 99, a couple years later. But did you always sense that breakthrough was coming? Did you say, you know, this guy has greatness, it's just a matter of time?
Yeah, I mean, I watched him. I mean, he had a great ability. He was strong, he was smart, and he was intelligent. But I just think that, you know, the one thing he had to do is he had to fight through the adversity. And once you fight through adversity of, you know, saying that you can't play in this league, you can't do this, and, you know, afraid to make mistakes, once he pushed through that barrier, that's when he came into his own. And I just watched him mature, not just as a football player, but just as a man. I mean, when you come in the league and you're raw and the expectations are so high, You get a little nervous and you're afraid to make mistakes. I mean, everybody's like that. You're human. You're afraid to make a mistake because the expectation is so high. So once he got past that of afraid to making a mistake and afraid to letting his team down and just play risk-free or just play, you know, play with a risk, then that's when his game turned around. And, you know, I watched him in 1999. I think he came into his own, and I'll never forget. This is when I knew that he was making the turn. Is when we were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. He got hurt 4 games before that, and Neil O'Donnell came in, and then we were playing the game, and Neil O'Donnell got hurt. He got his lip busted and, you know, concussion. He didn't know where he was. And Steve McNair trots in, you know, with not even warming up, just snapped his helmet. 2 plays later, it's 4th and 13. He throws to a guy named Chris Sanders for 13 yards. Catch it. First down. Then the next couple of plays, he throws it to Aaron Kinney, and he catches a corner route for a touchdown. And I watched his body language when he jogged off the field. He was holding the ball in his hands. He knew that this is my moment, and that's why Steve McNair is so special.
Chris Sanders is with us, forever Titans wide receiver. You brought up something earlier, Chris, about, you know, having to sit for – Steve had to sit for a couple of years. And I look at quarterbacks today, and I know the money. There's so much money involved with first-round picks that it's hard to do that. But I do believe that, and I'll use the Titans as an example, if Mariota or Jake Locker, you know, Jake Locker sat for a year, but if they had that time like Steve had, their careers might look different. Do you feel that way with quarterbacks today?
I agree. I mean, I think the problem that a lot of quarterbacks fall into is when they're in college, they have success quick. And when you have that success quick and then you come into the NFL and you have to sit, that's a hard pill to swallow. But look at some of the great quarterbacks that had to sit for a couple of years and then they came into fruition. No, I'm naming the guy Aaron Rodgers, Steve Young, guys that had to sit, learn the system, learn how to play the game, learn coverages, learn your players, learn the offense, learn so many things. And once they learned, then now their skill set can take over. Because a lot of guys come and say, well, I have a great skill set, I have a great arm, but then you struggle at first.
And then you don't play with confidence. I mean, another guy that you look at Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning threw about 20-something, interceptions early in his career because he had to learn on the run. But once he understood the game, once he understood coverages, once he understood how to lead a team, then that's when they can turn the corner. So I think it's a good thing that when young quarterbacks come in the league, sit for a while, learn from somebody in front of you, learn from somebody who's done that before, and so you can be where they're at. So I think the quarterback should sit as opposed to being thrown into the fire.
Look who just won the Super Bowl. What did he do his first year?
He sat.
Exactly. Never touched the field his first
year. But see, a lot of we as football players. We think it's you're a failure if you sit for a year. And I don't think – I mean, I came in as a league as a wide receiver, and I had success right off the bat. I made the all-rookie team and all those things. But once I started getting double coverage, and once I had to understand how to run routes, I struggled a little bit because I just got thrown in the fire, and my skill set was good at first. But then once I had to understand one thing I had to understand the game. And once I understood the game, then now my skill set could take over, and that's exactly what these quarterbacks need.
Chris, one thing that we've been talking about, but I've brought it up, is with Corey Davis, it clearly hasn't worked as the fifth overall pick. And, he's been solid. He's had, some flashes here and there. But, we've also discussed the Titans potentially drafting his replacement this season. What would be your advice to him as you hear all that and you hear the critics of – you got to go out there and make it happen. What would be your advice to Corey Davis?
You know what? If I was sitting next to Corey Davis right now, I would tell him, hey, you just got to keep churning. You got to keep fighting. And I know that sounds cliche-ish or corny, but whatever. If you're with the Tennessee Titans or you're with another team, you got to play so well that the team has to play you. And I'm gonna give you an illustration. I think it was 1998. They drafted Kevin Dyson, and they brought Yancey Thigpen in. And now I'm sitting here like, woe is me. I mean, I made the all-rookie team, and you're bringing two other guys in. And this is what helped me because I was getting really mad, and I was upset at the whole organization. And one of my friends sat me down, and he said this, you got two choices, to get better or get bitter. So instead of me getting bitter and getting mad at the organization or getting mad at them not throwing me the ball or getting mad at everybody else, I chose to get better. I sat down, I looked at film and said, what do I need to do to get better as a player? How is my attitude? What's my body language looking like? Am I coachable? That's exactly what Corey Davis needs to do. Forget about being bitter. Forget about what everybody's saying. Forget about what the media's saying. Hey, let me turn on this film and say, how can I get better? And if he has that attitude of where do I need to get better, he can be a dominant player in the league. Forget about what happened in the past. Today's a new day. Go in this organization, if it's with the Titans or any other team, and go and say, I don't have to prove anything. I'm going to show you that I'm one of the best receivers in this league.
They have the slot guy in Adam Humphries. They have A.J. Brown that becomes a running back as soon as the ball hits his hands.
Yeah.
Do you think this team needs a burner? Do they need to find that speed guy?
I think they have one. I think it's Raymond. Raymond has proved himself. I mean, look at the long balls that he caught. I think it was one against the Colts, and it was the one against Baltimore. I mean, he has the speed. I know he's not a tall guy to where he can jump up and catch the ball. He's one of those guys that can stretch the field. I mean, if you look into the draft, everybody's talking about that this is a deep class of wide receivers. Yeah, it is a deep class, but look how many speed guys you have. Look at Jerry Jeudy. He runs a 4.5. CeeDee Lamb runs a 4.5. Ruggs runs a 4.28. Jefferson runs a 4.45. Michael Pittman, I think he runs like a 4.5. You have Jalen Rigger, who's from TSU, who's a pretty fast guy. Then you have another speed guy that's KJ Hamler from Penn State. Those are some of the speed guys. But if you look in the draft, it's not a lot of guys that are running 4.3 and 4.2, but it's a lot of guys that can play football. So if they can find a guy that's a burner, that can take the top off the defense, then I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful.
Hey, Coach Sanders.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna get better, not bitter, at my routes.
Let's go.
I'm gonna get better.
I love that.
But you have a lot of work to do.
I've got time to work on it.
You would look gross in your uniform, though. I mean, for real.
Hey, his hair would look great under that helmet.
Yeah, I'm not wearing a helmet. No helmet. You got to see the hair.
Oh, he's got a comb over?
It'll mess my hair up. I'm not putting the helmet on. Uh-uh.
Hey, he's gelling. Remember, he's gelling.
Au naturel. Au naturel, Chris. By the way, do you remember how long your touchdown was? That first touchdown?
The Raiders?
Yep. How long was it?
Did you say
It was an explosive play.
It was a long pass.
It was 46 yards.
48 yards.
Okay, I give him all. 48.
Nice.
48 yards. You know what wide receiver had 3 touchdowns in that game?
In that game?
Yep.
Tim Brown?
Tim Brown, yeah. Tim Brown in a losing cause. Tim Brown, 3 touchdowns. Yeah.
Wow.
I was wrong about Eddie. I said he had 200 yards rushing. He had 216 yards rushing.
He's
in that
a dog,
game.
Man. That game was fun, but there was all Raider fans.
I know, unfortunately.
It was all Raider fans.
I was at the Liberty Bowl.
Yep.
It was odd. I feel like I was in my backyard playing football.
Do you remember who the quarterback was for the Raiders?
What was weird was there was nobody. There was a lot of Raider fans there, and the stadium was maybe half full. And then you guys in the next few weeks had games where there was no fans for either team there.
It was 4 people there, and they were cheering. Eddie, that's what they were doing.
Until you played the Steelers. Then they showed up again.
Hey, and the quarterback was Rich Gannon.
Nope.
For
Oakland. Yeah, who was
number
it?
Number three.
Yep.
Guy with two first names. Oh, was it the guy from Napoleon Dynamite?
He rocked the mustache.
I don't know.
Jeff?
Jeff George.
Jeff George.
Golly.
Yep.
That's pretty good, man. That's old school right there.
That is old school.
That's awful. His face mask was awful. He looked like a linebacker with that face mask. It looked terrible.
Hey, we'll let you get back to Netflix.
Sure.
And the moles, okay? Always good to talk to you. Be safe.
Appreciate you guys.
We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Forever Titan, Chris Sanders. We will come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.